throw.
It would be nice to have a boat.
Throw.
It would be nice to have a boat.
Throw.
It would be nice to have a boat.
Throw.
It would be nice to have a boat.
Throw.
It would be nice to have a boat.
Throw.
It would be nice to have a boat.
Throw.
It would be nice to have a boat.
Throw.
From your mom.
The happy hour is on the air!
Yes, it is. Welcome to the happy hour, everyone. Great to have you here with us on this Monday at the start of a new week. The week that will conclude with the spring game, and then we can put a merciful end to all of that.
I look forward to downloading the radio replays next week when I'm on the West Coast to make sure I get my fix on what happened at the spring game. I need John's takes. John, you going to give me your takes?
We're going to talk racing and baseball.
I mean, there'll be some there. I don't
sorry
know.
Sorry to the listeners about me being gone.
I don't know. I don't know what else I'm going to be able to give you beyond that. What anyone can really give you out of a spring game.
There's a ton, man. They're going to practice. They're going to tackle.
There's
gonna
less
throw,
every year.
They're going to hand off.
This much is certain. At this point, Nebraska will have almost as many wins after this Saturday as the Chicago White Sox.
Wow.
Hey-o.
I'm going to keep a track of this.
Okay.
Because we thought the Oakland Athletics were going to give us suctitude to last a millennium, but the Chicago White Sox,
wow,
right now, through 21 games, are worse than the 62 Mets.
Should we do a race to the bottom?
What race to the bottom would you like?
White Sox, A's, and Rockies.
Oh, I think the White Sox are going to win this going away.
They're 3-18, Nick.
They are 3-18. At this point in the 1962 season, the New York Metropolitans were 5-16.
Yikes. Mm. And that's one of the worst teams ever?
That is the worst team in modern baseball history.
Why is there a crying baby on
that? Because that was their first year.
That was their inaugural year. That was the program. Oh. That was the yearbook cover.
Here's a half-naked child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was depicting a newborn. Actually, if it was newborn, it wouldn't even be standing at this point.
They finished 40-120, so they won exactly 25% of their games.
Mm-hmm.
They were 60.5 games behind the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
60.5 games behind the Giants.
The White Sox at this point are on a pace for 24 wins.
Wow. Which would be worse.
If they keep this up. So, yes, we will be updating this on the regular. Congratulations to the Chicago White Sox, who almost got no hit.
Is it the Marlins that currently hold the record for, or is it the Mariners?
For what?
Most losses in a season.
We were just talking about them. It's the Mets.
It's the Mets.
Oh, the Mets is most losses ever?
Yeah, in a
162 game
my
season.
Bad. Yes. Yeah. I was thinking it's Mariners had something.
No, Mariners had the most wins.
They had the most wins.
They had 116 wins, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And speaking of losses.
Oh, boy.
Oof.
The Broncos' long-awaited new uniforms. It's hard to believe.
We knew they were going to be bad.
That it has been 27 years.
Yeah, 1997.
Since the Broncos magically remade their uniforms and then won the Super Bowl in the exact same year. Mm. But they've decided to go with a different look. They're going to be
They are now moving totally to orange jerseys. They are the home jerseys again.
Right, but they also have a blue jersey
with a white helmet
and a white jersey,
which is the road, obviously.
Yes.
Summit White.
I don't like that shade of blue.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Midnight Navy? You're not a fan of Midnight Navy?
No.
Yeah, but the Broncos did announce that they are going to be doing the Horse D throwbacks.
They should do that shade of blue.
They should do that uniform.
That should be their uniform.
They're allowed to wear these, according to rules, upwards of three mm-hmm. times in a season.
Do you think the new uniforms would have improved if, you know how the Rocky City Connect has the mountains on it? What if on the sleeves they did a similar mountain thing instead of that weird...
No, the issue is we are always going to compare them to the throwbacks.
True.
Yes.
And the throwbacks are, A, a better shade of blue, and B, they just look better.
They look
period.
Great.
We don't... There's no debate. These are incredibly... Look at the socks. Look at all the colors on the socks. Blue, white, orange.
Josh Peterson, Super 70 Sports.
No, don't say that. God, but that's also great graphic.
It does
look at
really
that.
Good.
The font is good. The little two lines that go across is good. The helmet's good.
The announcement video was pretty good.
Everything about it is good, except that they can't wear these all the time. I don't understand this. I don't understand America, John. When this is allowed to happen.
Reagan, Josh.
No, that's not. Reagan wasn't president in 1977, Nick. He was not president.
He wasn't.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Also, they wore these uniforms all the way to 96. Like,
yeah, they did.
Just keep wearing. They are so good. Those are such good uniforms.
Well, they're not going to.
No, they're not. And we're going to be sad about it. Those uniforms suck. The new ones suck.
Sad.
Bill Conley, friend of the program.
Yeah.
Of ESPN.com. Put out a graphic this weekend that depicted... And, you know, he is famous for the SP Plus, which is his metric to measure how great teams are. And he was able to identify the average SP Plus rating for the Mega Blue Bloods and everyone else. So these nine schools have separated themselves from everybody else. So much so that, I mean, if you look at the difference, if you're watching along in the stream, the blue graphic, those are the combined SP Plus rankings of the Mega Blue Bloods, and the black line at the bottom is just basically the national average, and how much higher these teams are. And in fact, these nine programs, and the programs of which we speak are, in no particular order, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Penn State, Notre Dame, and Texas. And this is their average ranking. Average. And as Bill wrote, these nine just enjoyed their best ever collective season. So in other words, 2023 was the peak of the Mega Blue Bloods in terms of his SP Plus ranking.
That's wild that given... I mean, this is some firepower in this collection of graphics or this collection of teams.
None of those teams had a losing season.
No, it's just wild that this was the best.
Yes.
But, you know, I guess it does make a little sense when you consider that two of the programs that are included in this have been at times, and I guess we could even expand it, but have been marred at times by being underachievers. And the two teams that I'm talking about are LSU and Georgia. You know, Georgia won championship.
Well, Texas has been kind of an underachiever.
Yeah, that's fair if you want to include them as well. So I guess maybe it does make a little bit of sense, but wow, that is wild.
Yeah, this run right now by these Mega Blue Bloods, again, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Penn State, and Texas. Best combined season ever.
Matthew says, counting since what year? 1945. So this is post-World War II.
Yes.
Post-World War II.
Yes. So this is going back, you know, quite a ways.
I wonder how he settled on, you know, like, okay, so if you take out Alabama, what is this graphic? Like, how much does it move up and down? If then you add, to ultimately settle on these teams, you know?
Well, I will show you because you're wondering, well, where's Nebraska on this list?
Oh, they're just outside of it.
But if you look at the average SP Plus ranking since World War II, Oklahoma is the number one program. Not Alabama, Oklahoma.
Makes sense. For the longest time, they were kind of like what Ohio State is right now. Super consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Insanely consistent. They won a lot of national titles. And, I mean, the 47-game winning streak is in here, right?
It's yes.
In the World War. I mean, so they have that. They had how many conference games in a row did they win throughout that stretch? 56? And Nebraska beat them to end that? 58? 57? Somewhere in there?
No, it was 70.
Was it that many?
Was it 72?
Oh, on the conference winning streak.
I think it was in the 70s, I think.
So 47 straight. I'll look for it. I'll continue to look.
If you just look up the 1959 Nebraska-Oklahoma game, I'm sure it says it. I want to say it was 72 straight wins.
First conference defeat in 13 years. 74.
74.
So, yeah, it makes sense that Oklahoma would be number one.
Well, also,
again, like
Oklahoma
said,
has had, really, in that time, one period where they were not good, and that was the John Blake era, and John Blake slash Howard Schnellenberger, and that lasted 4 years.
And then it led to, Bob Stoops. And the Bob Stoops era was insanely consistent, too. They only won one natty, but super consistent.
Alabama, second.
And see, they're only second because they had a longer stretch of bad than Oklahoma did.
Right.
Their highs are obviously insanely high, but their lows were pretty bad.
Ohio State, Notre Dame, then Michigan, tied with Penn State, then Texas, then Georgia, then LSU.
So that's the group of nine.
Those are the group of nine teams. Those are the top nine. Just outside that bunch is Tennessee, USC, Florida, Florida State, Miami, Nebraska.
Yeah.
If this would have been done 20 years ago,
yeah,
then Nebraska would be in this group.
Oh,
they would be in this mega blue bloods category.
Yeah, I wonder how high they'd be.
Pretty damn high.
Yeah.
Pretty damn high.
Yeah, even with, as Travis points out, Bill Jennings, you know, he says the blame is on Bill Jennings and Scott Frost. They're keeping Nebraska out of the mega blue bloods.
Well, I mean, it was two solid decades of mediocre to bad football from the 40s into the early 60s.
Yeah.
Right now, you know, those were the dark ages. These are the
new dark ages.
The gray ages.
Mm.
Because there's still been some winning. There's still been some winning seasons.
Yeah, Bo had a lot of success relative to what's happened lately.
But that's, you know, so, you know, Nebraska's still close enough to see it. But it is amazing the amount of consistent success. And if you look, I mean, Oklahoma and Alabama are in a tier by themselves.
Yeah.
And then it's Ohio State, Notre Dame, Michigan, and Penn State, and Texas are kind of in a tier.
Well, hell, even Georgia.
Then Georgia, LSU, Tennessee are kind of in a tier.
Yeah.
And then it drops off after that.
Money Chris says, my only question is, how the hell did Penn State make the group? This shows that Penn State's highs were way, way high.
Well, but Penn State, again, Penn State has not had that many bad, bad seasons.
Yeah, they had some lows, you know, we're going to talk on the field. They had some lows.
Yes, we're talking on the field.
At the turn of the century, they had some lows, right? As Paterno aged, they had some rough seasons. But even that downturn, I believe it lasted from like 01 to 04. And then they got good again, and they have been relatively consistent. They haven't been, you know, like horrible throughout that time. They had a couple of bad years, but they have been really, really good.
Penn State, the only time in, so
again, you got to go to like 01. 01 really, to 04 is bad. Really,
I mean, so we're just talking post-World War II.
You got the whole Joe Paterno era in
the whole Joe Paterno. But even before Joe Paterno,
they were solid.
The coach was Rip Engel, and they had nothing but winning seasons.
Yeah.
Penn State, let's see, post-World War II, their first losing season post-World War II.
Wow, you're scrolling.
Was 1988. Joe Pa had a 5-6 season.
So after,
but that
natty
was just 2 years after their second national championship, and then they immediately went right back up to 8-9-11, 7-5, then 10, then 12. You had to, and then 2000 and 2001, they had back-to-back losing seasons, and then 2003-04 were the true bottom when they went 3-9 and 4-7.
But then they immediately went
right back up to 3-11 win seasons in the next 5 years. So Penn State, like Oklahoma, very, very small window where they were mediocre to bad, and then it immediately shot back up. Penn State has one of the most consistent stretches of winning of any program anywhere, and that's why they're on this list.
Yeah, and another one that you feel free to pull this one up too, but Dave says, I'm surprised Georgia's that high. See, but you're going to find with Georgia very similar. like, again, national championships compared to the teams above them, it's going to be lower. Because they won in 1980 with Herschel Walker.
Right.
And then they won in 21 and 22.
Yeah, we tend to be blinded sometimes by, well, how many titles did they win?
But they were a good program. They were, I mean, Mark Richt, really good coach. They just didn't get over the hump. You know, that was their issue. We're comparing some of these programs to Nick Saban and what Alabama did. We're comparing them to some of these juggernaut Oklahoma teams. But they were always good enough.
Honestly, Georgia's history is somewhat similar to Nebraska's history in that post-World War II, they had some real rough stretches in the 50s. But when Vince Dooley was hired in 1964, they started to win with regularity. And while they didn't have as many high highs, once you get into the 2000s, then the 10-win seasons just start ratcheting up.
Yeah, I think Alec puts it well. Mark Richt era was really good without winning a natty.
It was very good.
How about this?
He had one losing season. He was 6-7. And the only reason they were 6-7 is because they lost in the Liberty Bowl.
Jordan points out, look how much Bowden elevated Florida State. See, that's the one. So they are above Nebraska, and essentially anything before him is going to be nothingness. And after him, obviously, they've won a national championship, and they've been good, but they've been a woefully inconsistent program in the time since Bowden. Hell, even the end of the Bowden era, you know, the last 6-7 years of his time, they weren't as good.
Well, and Florida State didn't become a major college program until the 50s.
So think about that. So right
and,
there.
And they were just, you know, very mediocre.
And then Bobby Bowden shows up. And they were, again, he won two national championships. In 93 and then 99.
And they did make a handful of bowl games prior to Bobby Bowden, but then once Bobby Bowden showed up.
And once they got going in the 80s.
And they famously went.
They had 14 straight years.
14 straight years where they finished in the top five.
Top four. So that's the thing is, while they only won two national titles in that span, they were always near the best teams in the entire country. And I bet Bill's numbers would probably have a couple of years where they were actually number one in SP Plus, mm-hmm. even though they didn't win a national
championship. Yeah, they went from 1987 to 2000.
Ridiculous.
They finished fifth in 2000. So you can actually extend that by one more year and say top five.
Ridiculous. They were awesome.
So
Matthew says, half of these programs are one or two legendary coaches, and others have that plus a bunch of very good coaches with almost no down periods. Yeah, you know, that's a fun idea from this list is, like, Alabama is certainly propped up from two guys in here. Ohio State, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Michigan, like, lots of coaches. I still think Ohio State is, I know they haven't won as much as Bama national title-wise, but the consistency in which they have their success is, I mean, just give them a huge round of applause.
Yeah, for Oklahoma, it's basically three guys. It's Wilkinson, or Wilkerson as Bill Callahan.
Wilkerson.
Switzer and Stoops. Alabama, it's basically two guys, but people forget that Gene Stallings did win a national championship.
Yep.
Ohio State. And you know, the funny thing is...
John Cooper was good.
John Cooper was good. He just couldn't beat Michigan.
Yeah. I think he went 2-9-1.
Notre Dame, a lot of different guys.
Now, they haven't won a natty since 1988, but still, a lot of different guys, and they have...
Michigan, it's pretty much from Bo Schembechler on.
Yeah, so him and Lloyd Carr.
So you got him and Lloyd Carr and Harbaugh and... oh, God, who was after Lloyd Carr?
That was Rodriguez. Are you talking about who's good? Brady Hoke.
Wasn't there someone before Lloyd Carr?
Oh, before him. Yes, there was. Only there for a couple of years. I don't remember who that was.
Why am I drawing a blank on him?
Yeah.
Penn State.
Yeah, it's Joe Pa.
It's mainly Joe Pa, but, you know, give credit to the current head coach. Texas, it's Darryl Royal. It's
Mack Brown.
See, LSU is one. Now, that is one that has really been elevated in this century. Because I guess they are early post-World War II, but they had long periods of being a down program, lots of talent, but not ever winning at a high level. But then Saban shows up, and the program becomes this.
The program was down.
Yeah, it completely reinvents itself. Where now a college football fan,
Gary Moeller, that's the guy I was thinking of. Gary Moeller
at Michigan.
At Michigan,
yeah. LSU, I mean, has become a program that people consider a blue blood, even though, you know, when I was first getting into the sport in 1997, it's not like they weren't known for anything like that. Nowhere near it.
LSU was pretty solid for a long time. Charlie McClendon had some really good years, and of course they won the 58 national championship that Iowa likes to dispute.
Go Hawks.
But after that, they have a few decades, right, where it's just kind of rough.
Their rough patches never lasted more than about 5 or 6 years. Like the Curly Hallman era.
Classic.
Right before Jerry DiNardo. DiNardo had a couple of good years, and then it fell off. The problem with LSU was you'd get a couple of good years, and then they'd fall off. And then you get a couple of good years, and then they'd fall off. And then when Nick Saban got there, that's when the consistent winning just...
Well, and they went from a couple good years to great years.
Correct.
Like their ceiling for a while was like they're a good program, but now their ceiling is national championship. It's funny, of all the teams we mentioned on here, so Auburn is on the list. We didn't really talk about Auburn, but USC is also pretty interesting because, again, their highs were high. I mean, they were a dynasty. They were a little mini dynasty in the sport. Now, wildly, 2 decades ago. And how about this from Matthew? He's right. NU is an aberration on this expanded list and how long they have been down. No conference championships in a quarter century. No bowl game now in getting close to a decade. Yeah, none of the other. Yeah, I bet nobody else on this list, John, has had as long of a downturn as Nebraska has. No, Notre Dame cannot win conference
championships. Downturn in terms of what?
Conference championships. And has any of these other teams had a stretch without this many years without a bowl game on this list? Now, again, remove Notre Dame from the conference championship list.
Right.
But 25 years? Has any of these other teams gone through a patch that long without a conference? See, I guess Florida would be interesting. And we do have to do a little work here with Penn State and Florida State and Miami.
Well, keep in mind, prior to early 90s, Penn State didn't have a conference.
Exactly.
So.
Same with Florida State. Same with Miami. But like Florida, I guess they had long stretches where they weren't very good either.
Right.
But yeah, Nebraska.
Now, yes, you're right. The in terms of the conference championship drought, but
about the bullish drought? That's a long time. For a mega blue blood? 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. They're at 7 years? It's a long time. Maybe some of those Miami or Florida teams, I guess.
Well, and also remember that, you know, there used to be a lot less bowls, so you actually had to be good to get to a bowl game. I mean, it's certainly unprecedented now, given the low bar it is to clear to make a bowl game. Absolutely. This is a long term. But, you know, I'm looking back, you know, through Florida's history, and they've never gone more than 3 years, you know, without a bowl game.
See, yeah, I will say this. I will correct what I said. Miami, because, like, look, here's a season for Miami. 8-1-1, and they didn't go to a bowl game in 1956. Things were weird back then. So you'd have to almost have to do
Well, they were weird, but they only had they only had about 6 or 7 bowl games back then. You really have to look at the bowl era, and I'd have to do the math on this. But, I mean, you pretty much have to look at the bowls pre- 1990?
Yeah, before it exploded.
When things really started to ramp up.
Jordan says, is Bill still counting the seasons that were vacated for teams? I have to imagine he is. He's just going
Bill,
SP Plus.
Yeah, this is SP Plus.
Yeah,
Bill's rankings are about the quality of the team. It has nothing to do with whether or not wins were... He doesn't vacate wins.
Yeah.
If you played the games, they count.
Yeah.
So these are Bill's rankings, NCAA probations, and other things like that. Do not factor in.
Michael on Twitter, JTech Instructions on Twitter feed, says, going to be fascinating to see how many of those mega blue bloods and near megas keep it going forward, given how many are in the SEC now playing each other. Yeah, I mean, if you just look at this list, so Oklahoma, Alabama, Texas, Georgia, LSU, Tennessee, Florida, Auburn, those are all now teams in the same conference. Meanwhile, Big Ten, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Nebraska. It's a much smaller list.
Yes,
much
it is.
Much smaller list. Oh, wait, I forgot USC.
And USC.
I apologize.
Kind of used to that.
Meanwhile, ACC teams are Florida State, and that's it. Interesting.
Florida State and Miami.
Oh, and Miami. God, Yeah, my bad. So two. Interesting. That's fun. What a fun little graphic. Though I'd like to see the Nebraska just the... Can you just show it to me through 2001? Let's just see that. That graphic would be a lot more enjoyable.
I was four.
Nick was four.
Through 2001 or since 2001?
Well, why not both, I guess, yeah. I'd like to see them where they their line, like if you could do an extra red line to see where they are against the Megas, because at times they're going to be higher than the Megas.
Sure.
But then they're going to be lower than the Megas.
You think we could maybe talk to our friend and see if he'll call it the old blue, old bloods instead of the Mega Blue Bloods?
Why, you're being critical? Tweet it him.
I like Mega. Mega's a great word.
Because they're not old bloods, Nick. They're the current blue bloods still.
Yeah.
Nebraska, if you want to call them an old blood, feel free.
Mm. You could.
We call them a mud blood. I know you love using that term.
Mud blood.
It's from Harry Potter, John.
Yeah, John would know.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I do know that registered donors can someday save up to 8 lives through organ donation and help hundreds more through tissue donation, and all it takes is to check that box. Next time you re-up your driver's license or get a hunting and fishing license, just check that donor box, that organ and tissue donor box, because good guys can save up to 8 lives. And the difference with tissue donation, it can change so many more lives through bone and skin grafts, donated corneas to restore sight, tendons to heal up sports injuries or ACL tears. And it all is absolutely free of charge, and anybody can register to be a donor. It does not matter how old you are. It does not matter your current health condition. There are no restrictions. All you have to do is check that box. It's so easy, and donation is free, and most traditional funeral practices are possible following donation. So please consider checking that box next time you re-up your driving, hunting, or fishing license, or find out more by visiting goodguyssavelives.com.